The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
What lies ahead for the United States, Canada, and Britain? Do you realize, my friends, that the great God has specific prophecies for us in His inspired Word? We're not left out at all, because God predicts the immediate future for America, Canada, and Britain. You need to understand. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith reveals America and Britain in prophecy. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
During World War II, Sir Winston Churchill stated before the American Congress, "There is a great design and purpose being worked out here below." My friends, God is working out a great purpose. He is the one who sets up rulers and removes them. He is the one who guides the destiny of men and nations. Notice what God inspired the prophet Daniel to write. Turn with me in your Bible. I want you to follow me. Check up on me. Prove these things to yourself. Hopefully you'll do that so it means more to you and you can be sure of what the great God reveals in His Word. It's always been here. Let's understand it. Turn to Daniel chapter 2 and beginning here in verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel. He'd been praying that God would reveal this great dream that Nebuchadnezzar had been given. And it was revealed in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Yes, my friends, the great God is in charge of the affairs of men and nations. He intervenes when He wishes to. He is a real God, and of course He does deal with us in a special way. He is the Spirit personality who is in charge of men, of nations, and of the lives of each one of us if we're willing to seek Him with all of our hearts. I want now to give you a quick overview of the national origins of the American and the British descended peoples all over the earth. This is something that is absolutely awesome when you understand it. Notice God's tremendous promises to Abraham and his descendants. Again, follow me in your Bible. It will mean a lot more if you will. Let's turn to the very beginning, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, starting in chapter 12, when Abraham is first introduced. Genesis 12 and verse 1. "Now the Eternal had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation.'" This is not just talking about the church, as some people try to explain it away. It includes part of it, the church, but it's talking about a nation, very definitely. "I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed." Now that applies in a spiritual way, of course, to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We know that. And yet the spiritual is not just the only thing. There is a physical aspect of this throughout promise after promise following up this promise. Notice chapter 13 now. And beginning in verse 14, "The Eternal said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see I will give you and your descendants, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth.'" The book of Romans in chapter 4 explains that Abraham was heir of the world. This promise eventually meant the whole world would be given to Abraham, as he obeyed God and to his descendants forever, and they were to be like the dust of the earth. Let's turn now at this point to chapter 15. He says in verse 18, "On the same day the Eternal made a covenant with Abram and said, 'To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates.'" In other words, he's talking all the way from the Nile to the Euphrates, a vast land that Israel never fully possessed. but is going to possess later the Kenites and all the other ites here. This promise, again, is expanded, and eventually Abraham was promised the whole world. Now let's notice a little bit later here in chapter 17. In verse 5, he says, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham." Abraham meaning a father of nations, for I have made you a father, notice, of many nations. Not churches, a father of many nations. Who are these nations that are going to possess this great promise that God is beginning to give? I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for an everlasting covenant. Yes, the great God continues to expand this promise to Abraham, who is also the spiritual father of the faithful. Now let's notice in Genesis 22, he says here in verse 15, "Then the angel or the messenger of the Eternal called to Abram a second time out of heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, says the Eternal, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. In blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand on the seashore.'" Vast, innumerable multitudes of human beings were to come from Abraham. And notice the other part of it, "And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." That's a powerful promise, the gate of your enemies. Certain great gates that would determine the outcome of world trade and the outcome of wars down through time. And of course, gates were very, very important at that time. Land gates and even then sea gates. But in modern times, it's been primarily sea gates. Think about it. Who possessed the great sea gates of the world in modern times? Genesis 24. Here is when Isaac was led to Rebekah to be his wife. Genesis 24:59, "They sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servants, and his men, and they blessed Rebekah." Now again, my friends, this is the mind of God. God, through these prophecies, is revealing to us things that are going to happen. This is not just some old patriarch wandering around in the desert, as a lot of people try to picture it. This is the real God. Understand this, and he's showing us here something. They said to Rebekah, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of tens of thousands." In other words, hundreds of millions of human beings. "And may your descendants possess the gates," plural, more than one gate, "of those who hate them." Now, the word gate in the Hebrew is bab. It's that way, B-A-B. It's also that way in the Arabic language. The same word is used. And one of the gates, of course, that God eventually gave the descendants of Abraham, that was taken away in recent times in our rebellion to God, was the Suez Canal at the southern entrance to the Red Sea. And the northern entrance to the Red Sea is another gate. Interestingly, it's called, and it's there on some maps even today, Bab, B-A-B, Bab el-Mandeb. And that gate has also been taken away from control by Great Britain. Those gates were given to Great Britain. Those gates, including the Panama Canal, were given to the United States of America. But as we've turned away from God, they're beginning to be taken away, one by one by one. These things are real. They're not just some idea of some desert nomads wandering around. They're going to affect your life. These prophecies are affecting your life right now. Notice now Genesis chapter 35, my friends, verse 9. "Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to Jacob," remember, whose name was changed to Israel, you see, overcomer with God, "your name is called Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel." El is one of the names of God. This meant overcomer with God. So he called his name Israel, or Israel. "Also God said to him, 'I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation," notice it, "and a company of nations.'" Now you have one great nation, and you have a whole company or commonwealth of nations being spoken of here, "shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body." These are talking about a nation and a company of nations. And of course, the Anglo-Saxon Celtic, Saxon means sons of Isaac when you trace its origin, they're the ones that these things referred to when you understand it. We're the only ones that have had all of these blessings in modern time. the American and British Commonwealth nations of this earth. And we want to understand it. Let's go now to Genesis, the 48th chapter, Genesis 48, and beginning in verse 14. Then Israel, that's Jacob now changed to Israel, stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. He was beginning to bless his grandsons. Ephraim was blessed most of all, even though he was the younger. And his left hand on Manasseh's head. The two sons of Joseph were blessed, guiding his hands knowingly. Normally he would have blessed Manasseh more, the older son, but he did it purposely, knowing the nature of each individual. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, you see, his son, but through his grandsons. And here is what he said to Joseph's sons. God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name, you see, the name of Abraham, the name of Isaac, and here the name of Israel. That name was to be stamped on a certain people. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Years ago, in a college office where I was working, there was a young woman who didn't believe this truth, and I kind of kidded her from time to time. I said, her name was Laurel Israelson. I said, Laurel, what is your name? What is your last name? Israelson. So your name is Son of Israel, but you don't think you're descended from Israel, and yet that's stamped right on your name. You don't find names like that over in China and Russia and other places very much, except if there are a few Jews there, but you find them right in the United States and Britain and Canada. That's not a foolproof at all of itself. Just think about it. Think about it. Now let's go down to verse 19. But his father refused, that is, to change this blessing. I know, my son, he said, I know he, that is Manasseh, shall also become a people, and he shall be great. Manasseh was to be a great nation. But truly his younger brother, that is Ephraim, shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude, or as we saw back in chapter 35, a company or a commonwealth of nations. So you have here one great nation, and then a company or a commonwealth of nations. So he blessed them in that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. Thus he said Ephraim before Manasseh. That's interesting. We have a great company of nations and one single great nation that these people were to be. Who are these nations? Let's carry it on into chapter 49, verse 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Oh, here is a prophecy in the word of God for the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to your father Israel. Then he describes the blessing that was to come to Reuben, which was not too much because he defiled his father's couch, and how Simeon and Levi would be scattered. Judah was to be praised. And then, of course, he just has very small blessings for most of the nations. He says down in verse 19, Gad, a troop shall tramp upon him, but he shall triumph at last. That's all he says about Gad. Verse 20, bread from Asher shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties. That's all he says about Asher. But notice when he comes, the descendants of Israel, called Joseph, and including, as we've just seen, Ephraim and Manasseh, who are to bear the name Israel in a very special way. He says here in verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him. You see, other nations are going to be jealous of this great power at the time of the end. Shot at him and hated him, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. But the hands of the mighty God of Jacob are by the hands of God. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And we find that Jacob's pillar stone, in fact, was put right in Westminster Abbey for generations. Now it's up in Scotland, but to be brought right back when they crown the kings of Britain, which are frankly the kings of Israel, when you understand it. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you, with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. The great God has blessed us immeasurably. He's blessed us way above all nations of the earth. And up until recent times, the British Empire was the greatest empire in modern times. The sun never set on the British Empire, but they were to be called Israel, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And he blessed and blessed and blessed with these blessings. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. These awesome blessings. My friend, we are among the peoples of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. That's who we are. We are descended from Israel. We have those blessings. No other nations even come close to being a great nation and a great company or commonwealth of nations at the end of the age in the way we do. So we need to understand. We need to grasp the fact that we are blessed and that we need to grasp the fact of who we are and the responsibility we have. At this point, I want to urge you to write or call right away and request the booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain? We have turned away from God. God will now have to wake us up, and we need to realize that fact. It gives you the key to understanding about 90% of end-time prophecy. It really does. Call or write for an absolutely free copy of our powerful, revealing booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, America and Britain in prophecy. We were in Genesis 49, for those of you who've tuned in, and the great God here is speaking about the time of the end. Notice in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 1, Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." And he begins to give this prophecy for the last days, giving just one or two short verses for most of the different tribes or nations of Israel. Very brief mentions, as in verse 21, Naphtali is a deer let loose. He gives goodly words. But then he comes to Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough. He's blessed and blessed, God says. He says, with the blessings of heaven above, verse 25, blessings of the deep that lies under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. And we have been the recipients of the choicest blessings that God has ever given these peoples. The American and British descended peoples are the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh. We are the ones who are the great nation and great company of nations. We're the people that God has blessed with such material blessings. What's ahead for America and Britain proves all these things in very clear terms, and you need it. We as a nation are turning further and further away from God. We're becoming a nation of God-rejecting people who are into all kinds of rottenness of every sort. Our marriages are breaking up. Even the very definition of marriage is being changed now. And more perverted things are coming in from every direction into our society. What will the great God now do to wake us up? Think about it. Turn to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. He says, "You've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Throughout the Old Testament, time and again, when Israel would turn aside, God would chasten them. And now we've come to the time of the end, and for the prophecies on Israel to be fulfilled that God gave hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, about what would happen to the descendants of Israel once they'd received these great blessings if they turned aside. Notice what has to happen to us to wake us up unless we have a national repentance such as we have never had before. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30, my friends. turn back again to the great prophecies of the Bible, this time to Jeremiah chapter 30. And I want to remind you that the book of Jeremiah, and all scholars agree upon this, the book of Jeremiah was written over 100 years after ancient Israel went into captivity. It was during the captivity of Judah. And Israel and Judah were often fighting one another, two separate peoples after they split up. But this is talking about the house of Israel, and this is us. But in fact, it's talking about Israel and Judah, all our peoples together. Notice Jeremiah 30 and verse 4. Now the words of the ever-living one, this capital L-O-R-D means the ever-living one, the eternal, spoke concerning Israel and Judah, both peoples, and that includes us. We are the descendants of Israel. As we just heard in the earlier part of the program, Israel said, "Let my name be named on them." And that's on Ephraim and Manasseh, the people who are the great commonwealth, the people as the great single nation of the earth. That's us. Thus says the Eternal, "We've heard a voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turn pale?" Men scared to death, absolutely terrified with the horrible day of the Lord, the horrible great tribulation that's going to come on the peoples of Israel unless they repent. He says, "Alas, for that great day is great, so that none is like it." Here is a time, my friends, that is so great, a national punishment that is so great, that none is like it. Now that ought to remind you of Matthew chapter 24 and verses 21 and 2, where it says, this trouble, this national tribulation is so great, there's never been a time like it, nor ever will be again. And when all the world would be destroyed unless God intervened. We are in that time with atomic and hydrogen bombs. It is the time, he went on to say here, of Jacob's trouble. It's the time of Israel's trouble. That's what this time is, the punishment upon the peoples of Israel who've been blessed so much but have turned away from God. But he shall be saved out of it. But boy, are we going to get into it first unless we repent. And verse 8, he says, "But it shall come to pass in that day that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds." Bonds are a symbol of slavery. "Foreigners shall no more enslave them." Get it? The peoples of modern Israel, whoever they are, not the house of Judah, but the house of Israel, are going to go into slavery. And then God is going to deliver them out of that, frankly, through Jesus Christ at his second coming. "Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Eternal their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them." This is the time of the resurrection from the dead. This is the time of Christ's return to this earth as King of Kings, and he will deliver modern America and the British Commonwealth people from the greatest national punishment and slavery that has ever been meted out on any peoples, unless we repent first. And I see no signs of repentance around, real repentance, and a national return to God. Do you? I don't think you do. Notice verse 10. "Therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob," remember whose name was changed to Israel, "nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity." Once again, a captivity. "Jacob shall return and have rest and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid." He says down in verse 14, "All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you, for I've wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased." That's why God does this, my friends. Our sins are getting worse and worse. Our society is becoming an abomination to God, and God is having to bring us down. "Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you." God help you to understand, our people are going to be shaken such that they have never been shaken before in what is called the Great Tribulation, and it comes primarily upon the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, the peoples of the British Commonwealth, and the peoples of the United States of America, unless we repent. So we do need to repent. We need to get back to the ways of God And only if we do that can we be spared this great national captivity, which is surely coming. There is scripture after scripture in your Bible describing this. We'll be covering much more about these things in future programs, and you need to understand. Let's turn here in closing to Luke, the 21st chapter, Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Christ has been describing the great troubles at the time of the end, certainly including this trouble, when you understand. And he says in Luke 21 and verse 36, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." You need to watch world events. And unless we repent in a terrific way, which we've never done, and get back to the God of the Bible, you're going to see a continual deterioration of our national power, our national wealth, our national morale. I know it's not happening, obviously, now, except the sea gates have been taken away. We've lost the Suez Canal. We've lost the Panama Canal. We've lost the Bab el Mandeb. We've lost Singapore and the Malacca Straits and other great sea gates. Other things like that are weakening us, the American and the British descended peoples. But these things are going to happen. Our sins will get worse, and we are going down. So understand that. We've got to watch world events and pray to God. Again, be sure to call us right away and request this powerful booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain. It reveals the key to understanding about 90% of end time prophecy. Call right away, even the phone call is free, and request What's Ahead for America and Britain.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to take time to view Tomorrow's World program every week, my friends, at this same hour. Richard Ames and I will be giving you powerful truth you may never have heard before. So tune in every single week. See you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.